I'm Sean Haney, and this is Real Ag on the Weekend. Let's get real and get connected with the week that was in Canadian agriculture. Real Ag on the Weekend starts now. Welcome to Real Ag on the Weekend. I'm your host, Sean Haney of realagriculture.com. I hope you had yourselves a great week. As we get to the back end of November and Christmas, a month away. Christmas, a month away. How about that? I remember we were like in the middle of July and I was like, I can't believe how fast the year is going. And now we are here. We are like 6 weeks from talking about, hey, welcome to 2026. Well, you know what? Farmers right now are deep in planning for the 2026 crop, right? A lot of decisions to be made and it's heavy. It's not easy out there. It is definitely tough. And this is kind of planning season. There's a lot of meetings going on, you know, from a farm policy perspective. There's a lot happening. You know, there's a lot of networking and trying to understand what some of the issues are. There's a lot of communication with some of the government bodies provincially. And of course, at the federal level, we just passed the Canadian budget very narrowly, very, very narrowly. And there's going to be some agricultural impacts from that for sure. More details to come. But farmers and ranchers deep into kind of planning mode here. And, you know, I'm just coming off an intense stretch, super intense stretch. So in 9 days, I did 7 speeches that were not all in the same city. Now, 2 of them were. I was in Saskatoon on Tuesday and Wednesday of this past week. But before that, it was all over the place. And everywhere from Medicine Hat, Alberta, to Lethbridge, Alberta, to Brooks, to Saskatoon, Ottawa, and Denver, Colorado. So, 7 speeches in 9 days. It was actually 6 and 7 at one point, and it was a lot of fun. I am not complaining whatsoever. I love getting out and being able to speak to audiences really across Canada and the United States. Because that's where, you know, I say to audiences all the time that a couple things. One, it's nice to see faces because a lot of times I'm broadcasting and hosting shows like this and I'm staring at a wall, okay? And I'm imagining you. And it's nice to be able to talk about some of the issues and provide some of my perspectives and get the facial reactions. And most importantly, I learned a lot in these last 9 days. I learned a lot. And, you know, obviously people have me come in to, AGMs, association meetings, corporate client events, and they want me to provide some perspective and entertain the audience, right? And I spoke to groups anywhere from probably like 100 to, I think the top one was in Saskatoon. It was a bear event. There were probably like 400 farmers there at least, maybe 500. So they want me to provide perspective, and I think we took our best shot at that. And some of the stuff, I think farmers really agree with. Some of the stuff, I know people came up to me and debated and provided their perspectives, which is totally awesome. I love that because there's no right or wrong answer on some of this stuff. I want to hear just as much what you think as well. And so I learned a lot. Like, just for example, I spoke last Saturday to the Alberta Lamb Producers Meeting, okay? And we did a keynote on the Saturday, and then we did an hour and a half producer panel. And I am not on a daily basis in the lamb business and what's going on for producers that are raising sheep. But it is a growing industry. There's a lot of opportunity in it. Lindsay from the Real Agriculture team, she farms just outside of Ottawa, her and her partner Chris. And so I know everything I know about sheep is through Lindsay and Chris. But I learned a lot that day as well from some great producers from Alberta. And what I've learned is that, we talk here a lot about some of the beef margins are good, but also, you know what? Their margins have been healthy as well because of the increasing demand when it comes to lamb. And I had said to the group, I love some good Alberta beef. There's no question about it. There's also obviously some great Saskatchewan beef. We got listeners from across the prairies here. But when there's lamb on the menu, I do like it as well. And that, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It is definitely a protein. And there's no doubts about that, but it's got a lot of opportunity to grow, and there's a lot of producers looking at it because of the high entry point. There's a barrier to get into the beef business or expand because of the cost, and what we've seen happen to trying to buy bred heifers right now, and so lower point of entry for people to get into sheep production. So I learned a lot there. So you just such an awesome opportunity to learn from so many people. I talked biofuels in Ottawa last week. We talked alfalfa seed production in Brooks, Alberta on this past Monday. And also spoke to the Canadian Association of Agri Retail. So all the association that represents all of the ag retails, where you buy your farm products from, your seed and your crop protection products, and they do some of your custom app for spraying and fertilizing and things like that. They have an association, CARE. And I spoke to at their annual meeting on Wednesday, and it was fantastic because our research partner, Justin Funk of AgriStudies, was also on the agenda talking about what farmers want out of ag retails in 2025 and beyond. Also ran into a really good friend of mine, Vance Crow, who used to be the head of millennial engagement with Monsanto back in the day. He gave a great talk on communication styles and methods to try to disarm people that maybe would be angry or confrontational with you. So if you want to hear some of that discussion, download Wednesday's episode of the Real Ag Radio podcast. We go all out on all those topics and more. So and finished off the week in Denver, Colorado at the Colorado Farm Bureau meeting, and had a great time with that group too. So much diversity at that group. And so many of their issues and concerns you could pick up those issues and plop them right down in Maple Creek, Saskatchewan, right? No different. Concerned about input prices, concerned about commodity prices, concerned about trade, concerned about access to labor, wondering where artificial intelligence leads their farms and management decisions going forward. It's the same thing. So had a really good time with that group, and really appreciate all the different groups that have me in to speak and be able to provide some perspective. I ran into so many fans of Real Ag on the weekend, so I really do appreciate it. Okay, today on the program, we are going to cover some ground here besides me just wandering around. We are going to hear from Dwayne Brand, who is with Canterra Seeds, to talk about some of the things that they're doing in a product spotlight. We're also going to talk about what's the future of drone spraying in Canada. We do have some changes from Transport Canada regarding drone regulations that Amber Bell from Real Agriculture, she talked to a couple different drone companies at AgriTrade. I also want to talk a little bit today about some of the things I've been chatting about with some of the audiences in my keynotes in terms of with the farm profitability challenges in the cropping sector, there's some tough decisions to be made. But there's also tough decisions on the top end. And I got some thoughts. And for example, in the cattle sector, right? And I've got some thoughts, and I want your feedback on it as well. If you have any feedback, you can send me an email, shaney@realagriculture.com. You can also call or text the Real Ag feedback line, 855-776-6147. Let's take a break. We've got more Real Ag on the weekend coming up right after this super quick break.
Excite Biotechnologies is a Canadian company providing made-in-Canada inoculants and biologicals. From nitrogen to phosphorus, let us help you find the best solution. Reach us at 1-855-XITEBIO or at excitebio.ca.
You're listening to Real Ag on the Weekend, hosted by Sean Haney of realagriculture.com on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. You're listening to Real Ag on the Weekend, hosted by Sean Haney of realagriculture.com on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I was talking about some of the keynotes and speeches and panel moderation I've done here over the last 9 days. If you are interested in having me out at your event, now that could be a corporate client event, that could be an association event, maybe it's like with you're on a board of directors and you want to have good input on what's going on in the world of agriculture. What are we seeing as a Real Agriculture team? You make sure you send me an email, shaney@realagriculture.com. We'd love to chat with you about that. And always interested in talking to groups out there that are passionate and involved in the world of agriculture. Okay, so now in some of the speeches that I've given here, in the last week, one of the things that really sticks out to me, and I may have mentioned this number over the past couple weeks, it has to do with the state of farm profitability. And in our Canadian Farmer Sentiment Index, we talk a little bit about, you know, current farm financial performance and future farm financial performance. And that's a relative ask, right? So current is, how is my farm financial performance today versus 12 months ago? Okay. And right now it's on the decline. And another proof of that is when we look at what is the state of your farm financials today? Okay. And what's interesting is that right now, we surveyed in October, and what the Real Agri Studies Insights panel said to us is that 45% of Canadian farms across the country believe that their financial position is good to excellent. And that's on the decline. That is on the decline. I heard an interview in the U.S. this week where there was a survey done where 52% of U.S. farms believe they're going to be profitable in the year ahead. And that's a bit of a different ask in terms of a question, but you know, the 45 and the 52 are kind of close. I think a lot of people are saying that the farm financial health is a little bit stronger in Canada compared to the U.S. right now, but there's a lot of different factors to look at there when we make some of those comparisons. One of the interesting pieces, okay, when we look at farm financial performance and how people would describe their farm's financial situation today, we have 13% saying poor, 42% saying fair, 37% good to excellent, 37% good, and then 8% excellent. What we've been seeing since April when we started asking this question is the poor and the fair are increasing and the good and the excellent are decreasing. Okay? So if we look at where the poor and fair is, like back in April, it was only 6% poor. Now it's 13. It was 34% fair. Now it's 42. It was 49% good, and now it's 37. And it was 11% excellent, and now it's 8. So you can see what's happening here. We got a real bell curve that is developing, and it's getting there. I think there's some cause for concern here, and banks are going to look at this, accounts are going to look at this, and maybe even more so the banks, because they're the ones that are providing the debt for farmers for a number of reasons to operate, to expand. There's a lot of reasons why people go to a bank and take on debt, but I think this is one of the things that has a little bit of concern. One of the indicators that I've been showing to audiences is machinery sales. And because if you remember back earlier in the year, we had surveyed farmers about where they're going to cut costs. And we've just done this in October as well. And what we've seen is that for the most part, all of the different options we provided, there's a higher probability that people are going to cut those costs. Now, one of the costs that farmers said that they were going to cut was machinery purchases. And the U.S. numbers are really, really terrible. They're awful. The Canadian numbers were really strong through the end of September. But as we start to look at the October numbers, it's getting a little bit worse. Things are sliding here, which I'm going to say I think is a little bit of a cause for concern. So let's look at the Canadian numbers. Two-wheel drive tractors are up 1%. Now, some of that two-wheel drive tractor market could be like acreage owners, for example. Okay, so it's not all just farmers, but two-wheel drive tractors are essentially flat, but they're up 1% as of year-to-date as of the end of October. So that's adding up all the months up until the end of October. Two-wheel drive tractors up 1%. Four-wheel drive tractors have really slid off in the last 3 months, year to date, okay? We're down now 20% on four-wheel drive tractors in Canada. Yeah, that was positive 2 months ago. And now we have combines, which as of the end of September was up 4.7%, but now we're only up 1% on combines year to date. So you can see here, those numbers are not, they're not horrible, but they're also not exceptional. And what we do know is, like, for example, the U.S. numbers, two-wheel drive tractors are down 8.5, four-wheel drive tractors are down 42%, and combines are down 38. Those are way worse. Way, way worse. And those aren't just tough. That isn't just tough math for farmers. That's tough math for the entire industry. As it is an indicator, right? If the farmer has money, he's going to be more inclined to upgrade equipment, to buy technology, to maybe go with some fancier, more expensive inputs, or try different stuff. And we know that is a little bit unlikely here in 25, but also headed into 26. Remember, on the prairies in Western Canada, one of the things that really helped the Western Canadian farmers, the fact that Mother Nature cooperated, right? And in any farming year, you can do what, you know, you could do your best. You can make all the right decisions, but you really do need Mother Nature to cooperate and come through for you. In 2024, she did not. In 2025, she really did. And canola yields, for example, really surprised us to the upside and gave us some lift and reasons to be just a little bit more optimistic, which I think is positive. Now, but we know this, optimism is not collateral, right? We talked about some of the declining farm financial health and some of the concerns there and how farmers would describe their income statements or even their balance sheets. You can be optimistic, but the bank is going to lend you money on that, right? They're going to lend you money based on actual hard assets of collateral, your management ability, what is your strategy? There's a whole bunch of different factors that go into that, but they want hard assets that they're going to lend against. So this is an interesting time as farmers position their strategy and what they're going to do. Maybe it's staying the same as it was last year and just holding firm and live to fight another day. In other cases, maybe there's opportunities for expansion. And I think that's one of the keys here. We can't be so distracted by all the negativity. There is opportunity. And on the beef side, at the top end, where there has been lots of profits made, it's been a great year. It's also can be challenging because you make the wrong decision with this expensive of inventory. You can regret it for several years going forward, right? You go out and load up on a whole bunch of bred heifers and, you know, retain everything and we're going all in. Yeah, all it takes is one sort of little policy change like we saw in the last couple of weeks out of the White House. We got to get beef prices down, and whammo. So lots of challenges out there, decisions to be made by farmers, and we wish everybody the best of luck and all the best in devising that 26 strategy. Let's take a break. We've got Cantera Seeds coming up right after this.
For balanced nutrition with micronutrients, the best answer is WolfTrax DDP from Koch Agronomic Services. To learn how WolfTrax can ensure nutrient availability through a crop's growth cycle, visit wolftrax.ca.
You're listening to Real Ag on the Weekend, hosted by Sean Haney of realagriculture.com on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. The following is a paid-for product spotlight by Cantera Seeds. We're joined right now by Dwayne Briant, who is the North Central Alberta Territory Manager for Cantera. Hey, Dwayne, it's great to chat with you.
Hi, Sean.
So, Dwayne, there's lots happening in the company at Cantera and with your customers. And, of course, we finished harvest. Now we're moving into planning for 2026. You've really had a big year with your canola lineup, especially with this new CS4100LL Liberty Link Hybrid. What's been standing out about that one in particular?
Well, CS4100 has, first of all, been tested in farmer trials across Western Canada in every territory. And we're over 100 trials this year. And with regards to North Central Alberta specifically, I had 15 trials myself, all done with different farmers. And it, right from the beginning, it was fast out of the ground, you know, had lots of vigor, covers the ground with nice leaf like guys like to see, and then gets up there and gets to flower before the competitors. And that was very consistent across all of our trials. Yeah.
Cool. It's great to see when you've got a hybrid that, you know, you're excited about as a company and a rep, And then when you see the customer's excitement about it as well, that's where it's really, really gratifying. And speaking of customers being excited about a product, here's one of your customers who's been growing Cantera seeds for a few seasons now and had CS4100LL in the ground this past year. Here's what Michael from Two Hills had to say.
We've been growing Cantera seeds for 4 or 5 years now. We started with 2600 as a Roundup variety, and then we switched over to the Liberty Link when CS4000 came out, and haven't really looked back. We went from one field to a solid half of the farm and into Cantera seeds, and definitely room to expand that in the future if the 4100 performs as good as it looks.
Dwayne, that's pretty cool to hear from a customer like that.
It really is. It was nice to see 4100, how it went straight cut through the combine, where the yield monitor was hitting very high numbers. And, the customer's excited about the variety and getting some on their farm for next year as well in 2026, right? So they're very happy. We're very happy. We had a trial, and many of the trials that we had, but the one specifically closest to them at Two Hills, we were the highest yielder in that trial. And again, 4100 is a very high yielder and has done very well across all of our trials in terms of how it finished with yield too. So,
okay, so Dwayne, we've been talking about 4100, the Liberty Link hybrid. What do you have for those that are looking for options that are TrueFlex?
Well, we have our brand new CS3400. It definitely has been something I've been waiting for in North Central Alberta because we have a very big clubroot issue, as most people know. One thing that this variety brings is brand new clubroot resistance package to it. It brings that mid to early maturity. And of course, it has a really nice high yield potential, and it really can do well for the farmers out there. And of course, it is its first year out there, so it's going to be a limited launch as well. So
if you're interested, book early, right? That's the
yes.
message. That's the takeaway.
Book early.
There.
Exactly. Give it a try. Give it a try against any of your TrueFlex or any Roundup ready products that you grow on your farm. Give it a try. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, great stuff. Okay, so we've talked a lot about product performance, and you've mentioned the trial success that you've seen in your territory. As you look ahead, what do you think defines Cantera Seeds as a company? And you've been with the company for a while now, right? So
yes.
you got a good base there. How does the company continue to deliver this to farmers across the prairies?
Well, the nice thing about Cantera Seeds is it's a small Western Canadian company. It focuses on farmers. It's a farmer owned company, and we focus on what the farmers need. We use the retail locations that help us by selling our products to help the farmers as well. And of course, if there's something specific a farmer needs that some companies can't provide, well, Cantera Seeds actually can provide that with some of the services we offer. And as well, Cantera Seeds definitely is always looking for what's something new. And we deal with several breeding companies on the canola and, of course, on our the rest of our portfolio side of the business. And we can definitely provide a lot of great opportunities for farmers to do well on their farm. Yeah,
great stuff. So, if somebody wants more information about Cantera Seeds, Dwayne, where do they go and what do they do?
Well, the best place to start is you can go to your local retail who sells Cantera Seeds, or you can go and online to Cantera.com, and you can look up your local rep and give us a call directly. As well, that you can also find your local retail online as well.
Great stuff. Hey, Dwayne, thanks so much for joining us here for this product spotlight.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff. Again, talk to your local Cantera retailer, talk to your local Cantera rep, and make sure you ask them about some of those new products, especially that CS4100LL. You know, when it comes to selecting a hybrid for the upcoming year, one of the things that I have really heard a lot of seed companies that are focused in canola And I know one of the things I've heard them talking a lot about this year, and I don't know if this is becoming kind of new or maybe I'm just picking up on it, but is much more of a suggestion, at least louder voices this year on really managing some of your risk as it applies to the number of hybrids you're planting. I don't know if I talked about this in the show before, but I've really picked them up on that this year. And I was having a conversation with an agronomist going back, probably about a month ago. We were chatting about it, and she's a big football fan, how a lot of football teams now have, not one running back, like a feature back. They've got like a multi-running back attack. So, making sure you've got two running backs that you trust to handle some of the carry load. And in some cases, some teams, especially in the NFL, giving that third running back a few carries on maybe a couple series. And what's interesting in that two running back sort of situation, I'm a big Chicago Bears fan, and right now they've got two running backs that are a little bit different than each other. One's a downhill runner straight ahead, and the other one's a little bit more of a scat back. He's a little bit shiftier, right? He can go side to side, a little bit more laterally. But they both have their strengths and what they're really good at, and it really allows the Bears, and you can probably apply this to a lot of football teams. Like the Detroit Lions are like this too, where they've got two solid running backs. It definitely allows them to manage the risk. You can kind of manage the risk based on what the defense presents you with in terms of alignment and what their intentions are. It's kind of like choosing hybrids, right? So I'm hearing a lot more this year, I'm finding, of companies suggesting, don't just roll with one hybrid. It's a little bit risky. Roll with, have two, three, four different hybrids, and it allows you to kind of plan for the year ahead. Just interesting stuff. Let me know what your thoughts are on that. We're going to take a break. We've got more Real Ag on the Weekend coming up right after this.
Economic growth for agriculture, sustainable agriculture productivity, AGMs, and more will be featured at the Saskatchewan Crops Forum January 13th and 14th in Saskatoon. Register at sascrops2026.rsvpify.com today.
You're listening to Real Ag on the Weekend, hosted by Sean Haney of realagriculture.com on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. A lot of farmers are talking about the possibility and the future of drone spraying. And there's a lot of companies out there that are selling drones for spraying. There is some issues with this and the fact that we're still waiting for the labels of some of the crop protection products or all the crop protection products to catch up with it. But there's farmers using drones not just for spraying, but they're also using them for maybe seeding some cover crop, right? Especially in some of those wet areas. Maybe it's doing some field scouting. There is that. So there's a lot of opportunities for drones. They have their place indeed. And some of the technology that applies to drones is, I was kind of walking around at AgriTrade, and some of the technology is just, it's mind-blowing compared to where we were, not too long ago. So at AgriTrade, Amber Bell from Real Agriculture talked to a few of the drone companies that were on display there and had some booths, talking about Transport Canada and some of the new rules that they're potentially rolling out.
At the beginning of the month, Transport Canada rolled out new rules for medium-sized drones. That's the 25 to 150 kilogram range. The big headline is you can now fly them in visual line of sight without chasing down a special flight certificate. You still need the right pilot credentials and clearance if you're in controlled airspace, but overall the process is getting a lot simpler. We had the chance at AgriTrade in Red Deer to speak with a few companies that specialize in drones, and this is what they had to say about the regulation changes.
From 25 kilograms to 150 kilograms is now a category where you can fly with just an advanced certificate. So no need for a special flight operation certificate and 80 pages of paperwork anymore. You just need to get certified. Learn the rules, get certified, and you can fly. So that's the big changes that happened yesterday.
And for those who don't know, talk a little bit about what that special flight operation certificate, or SFOC, looked like in the past, or what it would take to get one now.
Sure, you would still need it for a drone this big if you want to fill it to the top, because this is 177 kilograms. So 150 is the limit. Above that, you apply for it's a customized certificate for each operation. So you're going to outline what your risks are, what the capabilities of your aircraft are, how you're going to mitigate those risks to fly safely. But it is about a 3 to 6 week process, 80 to 100 pages of paperwork. So, yeah, there's some, and there's cost now involved as well. An $800 cost for a medium complexity application.
And that's for one flight?
No, that's for a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the level of complexity. For smaller drones, you can get SFOCs for nothing. But, yeah, most of them have a fee attached now as well.
So how are you feeling, and what are your thoughts around the new regulation changes and the ability to do that with an advanced license?
I think Transport Canada has done incredibly well to bring drones into their airspace. I mean, these are big, big tools now, and we can use those on the farm as a fairly new operator. The only thing that we can't do yet is apply pesticides. And as much as I love what Transport Canada has done, Health Canada has been much less accommodating. We're still waiting for some significant change in the rules there. But Transport Canada's changes yesterday, awesome.
Tell me a little bit about what the changes were, especially around medium-sized drones, and what your reaction is to them.
Yeah, we're actually very excited, especially for farmers in the agriculture world, drone world. So now with farmers, if they are not exceeding the capacity, now they don't have to have the Special Flight Operations Certificate, the SFOC. So that's just an extra step that obviously farmers don't want to have to worry about if they don't legally have to. And so now with that change, as long as they stay with under the weight restrictions, they don't have to do that. So we're happy.
Right. And they do still need their advanced license. So what does the process look like to get an advanced license?
It's really quite straightforward. The cost is minimal on Transport Canada's website. Training, some people actually do the training themselves and can do it all online. It's very simple. We offer a 3-day course where everything is laid out for them so that they can feel confident to write that exam and pass it. So really straightforward.
And what type of difference do you think it's going to make for farmers on the ground now?
Well, I think it's just another thing that helps them to see that drone technology is going moving forward, something they're going to use more, not only to be more efficient, but also to have things in place so that they can use them in their day-to-day operations.
How much easier is it now for farmers?
Oh, gorgeous. It's save a lot of time. Time before, so we need to prepare a bunch of documents. They take more than 1 week to prepare, a lot of time to negotiation. But at that time, we already built up a really good relationship with Transport Canada. Now they release the new regular, save a lot of time. Now, if you have lessons, you can fly. Save a lot of time, right?
That's terrific. What are you hoping for in the future with regulations?
Future, as our customer farmer says, the bigger the better.
And what impact do you think this will have on farmers?
I think it's going to make it a lot more accessible to start with a big spray drone like this. All the paperwork and stuff at the SFOC was very cumbersome to start with, so this really just streamlines the process to get you into a spray drone.
Wonderful. And any words of encouragement for growers if they're out looking to purchase a drone?
Words of encouragement? Drones, I think they're here to stay. They seem to work great. It should be another good year in 2026.
That was Amber Bell of Real Agriculture reporting from the floor at AgriTrade. You could hear how bustling and busy it was this year at that show in Red Deer, Alberta. Yeah, so it seems pretty positive, the reaction to some of the changes that Transport Canada is making. But what you did hear there is some of the criticism of Health Canada being very slow in some of its updating of some of the approvals, the label updates on crop protection products. Farmers have a thirst, a demand, a hunger to want to use drones in certain applications for spraying. Now, some of the weed scientists, though, and some of the research that has been done, there's some concern about the quality of the droplet pattern and the coverage consistency, especially as you compare that to something like an airplane. But I think we're, relatively speaking, we're maybe early days still in terms of the rollout of the technology. And, can a drone get closer to what a helicopter would do and the effectiveness that it has when it comes to fungicide? So when you go to Ontario, you see a lot of helicopters spreading fungicide. We don't really see that in Western Canada, but there's a lot of people really interested in this play in Canada and in the U.S. But there's a lot of other uses of drones, like I mentioned, and some of these Transport Canada rules or rule changes will have a real positive impact, as we definitely heard there. Now, what I'm curious about is where do you see drones? Because I talked to a few farmers this week. that were really split opinions. I talked to some farmers when I was in Saskatoon that were really chomping at the bit. They really feel this is an opportunity. It's from a cost perspective. It's a lot cheaper to get a drone, to have one for the farm than maybe, in some applications than a sprayer, and maybe getting into some of those nooks and crannies of a field that's not perfectly square. The drone has a lot of fit. So they were optimistic, and they were really pushing, like, we need to get some of these rules changed. On the other hand, I talked to a few other farmers who were like, yeah, I'm kind of over it. I don't know. I think it's more sizzle than steak. Let's put it that way. So the question is, what do you think? I would love to hear from you. You can send me an email, shaney@realagriculture.com, or I'd love to hear from you on the Real Ag text line, or Real Ag feedback line, I should say, where you can call or text. And that number is 855-776-6147. If you are not getting the Real Agriculture emails, this is simple to fix. All you got to do is go to realagriculture.com/subscribe, and you can check out. You don't need to worry. That's the thing. You just, in the morning, you're like, where do I find out what's going on? You don't need to worry. You just go to your inbox, because we send you an email and keep you updated on what's going on in the world of agriculture. So that's realagriculture.com/subscribe. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, getting real, and getting connected with Real Ag on the weekend. Cheers, and we'll talk again next week.